Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that the Holy Spirit makes this word come alive in our hearts today. Father, I thank you for boldness today. I pray that you would grant me that with all boldness I would speak your word in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for confirming your word in our lives today. And as we receive it and as we apply it and act on it, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. John, verse 2, we're going to look at this morning. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Praise God. This is a verse that we are familiar with and that we look at. And it's, as you know, and as I've pointed out to you in the past, this is a letter. 3 John is actually a personal letter that John, the Apostle John, wrote to his friend Gaius, or Gaius, however you would say it, G-A-I-U-S. We see that in verse 1 that he's talking to Gaius, his dear friend. And so it's a personal letter, but yet it was inspired by the Holy Spirit and it made its way into the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
Amen. So it's more than just a letter to Gaius or Gaius. It is it's not just a greeting from John to Gaius, but it's the expressed will of God for each one of his children, for every believer in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So John is praying this for his friend, but he's also praying it for every one of us. Now, this is the same John, the Apostle John, that wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and he said this, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Amen.
So in other words, my point is, John's not going to be praying something for Gaius and for all of us that's contrary to the will of God. Because he said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have it. Amen?
Amen.
So John is praying the will of God.
Amen.
It is the will of God that you, as a child of God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you prosper in all things. It is the will of God that you be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, when we talk about these subjects, you know, you see people that preach on this sometimes be labeled as, oh, they're just one of those health and wealth preachers. They're just preaching that health and wealth gospel. Well, I have to tell you this morning, I plead guilty.
Amen.
I plead guilty. God does want you to be healthy.
Yes, he does.
And he's provided for that. And God does want you to be wealthy, to prosper.
Amen.
And he's provided for that too. Or what do you think? Would you rather that I preach a poverty and sickness gospel to you? No, because that's not the Bible. Amen. And I understand people have gone to excess and taken things to excess and extreme and not preach these things in balance and not preach the whole counsel of God. And that is a problem when they do that. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You ever heard that expression before? Amen. You know, let's keep the right and the truth. Sometimes people throw the whole thing out, especially in this area. Amen. So God desires. In the King James, it says he wishes above all things. In the King James, it says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. And yes, it is as your soul prospers. We understand that. And part of our soul prospering is for us to think right.
Amen.
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 It's for us to think right according to these issues. If we're thinking that God wants us poor, or that somehow prosperity is evil, or somehow money is evil, or it might not be God's will to heal us, or we shouldn't, you know, you hear people say this, well, brother, I want to seek God's face and not his hand. Well, I understand that, and I think there's a truth there, but you know, the people that came to Jesus for healing, they were seeking his hand. They wanted to be well.
Amen.
They wanted to be delivered. They didn't want to be sick anymore. And Jesus didn't turn any of them away and say, well, your motives aren't right. You shouldn't be seeking my hand. You should just be seeking my face. They learned after they got healed to seek his face. Bible says after people got healed, they glorified the God of Israel. Amen. Praise God. So he desires for us to prosper. And again, it's as our soul prospers, so it means we have to think right. Amen. Our soul prospering is to think right, because if we'll think right, we'll believe right.
Amen.
We'll believe according to truth. And that's why John writes in the very next verse, in verse 3, he says, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. The next verse says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, he's talking about his spiritual children there, of whom his friend Gaius was one, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Amen. And it brings the Lord no greater joy than for his children, for us, to walk in the truth. Amen. Amen. And the truth that we're talking about today is that God wants you to prosper and God wants you to be in health. Amen. Amen. And he wants us, and so in order for us to experience that, we have to walk in the truth concerning these areas and concerning these matters. Amen?
Amen.
Because, again, there's been a lot of misinformation. There's been a lot of wrong teaching. There's been a lot of traditional teaching that we've bought and that become ingrained in our thinking that prevents us from fully trusting and boldly believing God for us to prosper and for us to be in health. And so my purpose today is to get the truth into your heart. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I remember Dad Hagin mentioning several times, he said, the devil will always fight you hardest in these two areas, in the area of prosperity and in the area of health and healing. He attacks, these are realms where he can attack us the most. In the realm of he tries to attack us financially in our prosperity, and he tries to attack us physically with sickness and disease. He said that's why we need to continually feed on the subject scripturally of faith and healing. Amen.
Amen.
And so we need to be built up. We need to be fortified in these areas. Amen.
Yes.
And let me address this, because sometimes you hear this. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but I hear this argument presented when people are speaking against the message of prosperity and healing. They say, well, you know, you're saying that God wants everybody, every Christian should prosper and every Christian should be in health. Pastor, you're saying that if I'm sick, if I'm experiencing financial lack, you're saying that I must be a bad Christian, or that God's mad at me, or that I've got sin in my life, or something's wrong with me. No, that's a false assumption.
Amen.
We're not saying that. We're not preaching that. Amen. When we preach these truths that God wants you to prosper, that God wants you to be healthy, what we're doing is trying to combat the lies of the enemy.
Amen.
And the attack of the enemy.
Yeah.
That keep us from enjoying the prosperity and the health that God wants us to have.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So God wants you and all of His children healed and healthy.
Amen.
God wants you and all of His children prosperous and blessed financially.
Amen. Yes.
Why? Well, number one, because you're His child.
Yes. Amen.
He loves you. What parent in here wants your child, your children, to suffer with sickness and disease, to suffer poverty and lack, and not have enough to pay their bills, and not have enough to have their needs met? Is there any parent in here that you'd say, well, I really don't want my children to prosper. I really don't want my children to be healthy. It's okay if they're sick. We'd call you evil and twisted.
Amen.
for having such a desire for your children, for having anything other than a desire. I want my children to prosper. I want my children to be healthy.
Yes.
Amen. Well, you're God's child.
Yes.
Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?
Amen.
You're His child.
Amen.
He loves you. And He wants you to prosper.
Amen.
And He wants you to be healed.
Amen.
And to be healthy. Amen?
Amen?
And the second reason is this. We are His covenant people. And we're living under a better covenant, the Bible says. So let's go back and let's look at God's desire for His covenant people in the Old Testament. Amen. Let's go to Exodus 23 and verse 25. He says, so you, and this is right after they'd come out of Egypt. Right, he begins to reveal himself. You know, Moses appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and he says, go down to Egypt and deliver my people out of Egypt. So Moses, after some, you know, wrangling around with God, saying, I'm not qualified, get somebody else. Moses finally says, okay, I'll do it. And he goes, and the long story short, they come out of Egypt. And they just have come out of Egypt, but before that, when the Lord appeared to Moses, he said, well now, who shall I say is sending me? And what did God say?
I am.
Tell him I am. And he says, I am what? And he says, well, I'll fill in the blanks later. And here's where he filled in one of the blanks. All right? In Exodus 15, he fills in one of the blanks. He says, for I am Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
The Lord your physician.
Amen.
And then here in Exodus 23, he tells them, so you shall serve the Lord your God. And he will bless your bread. And do you ever ask God to bless your bread and water?
Yes.
I do it every time I eat. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Thank you that you bless my bread and water, my food. And you take, even if I'm drinking a Mountain Dew, it's made out of, there's water in there.
Amen.
The rest of it's bread, so to speak. He will bless your food and drink. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one, verse 26, no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Hallelujah. He said, I will take sickness away. Let's go back to verse 25. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's who He is.
Yes.
That's His covenant promise. That's His covenant blessing to His people in the Old Testament.
Amen.
They weren't even His children yet. They were just His servants, His covenant people. In the new covenant, we're His children. But for His covenant people, He said, I'm going to take sickness away from the midst of you. Amen. In Psalm 108, now we could look at dozens and dozens of scriptures in the Old Testament. We're just going to hit just a few here. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what? All His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. He's got benefits. Hallelujah. Being in covenant with Him means there's benefits available to you and me. What are they? What are those benefits? He tells us in verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals a few of your diseases, if it's His will.
Amen.
Who heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. That's His benefits. He said, don't forget them. Too much of the time we've allowed traditional thinking, wrong thinking, to rob us and to cause us to forget our benefits.
Amen.
He forgives all of our iniquities. That's benefit number one. Do we believe that?
Yeah.
Do we believe that it's God's will to forgive us of all of our iniquities, or does He allow some to linger? Does He say, you did that? No, I'm sorry, I'm not going to forgive that one. No, He forgives what?
All
of our iniquities. And the same God who forgives all of our iniquities says that He heals all of our diseases. Is there any sin too great that God won't forgive? There's not, is there?
No.
Is there any sickness too great that he won't heal?
No.
There's not. There's not. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." Again, this is after they had come out of Egypt and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. He said, "The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing." Now, let me stop right there. So, what God did for the children of Israel, bringing them out of Egypt, is a type, a shadow, a picture of our redemption in Christ. What instruction did he give them to do before they came out of Egypt? And right before, the last thing they did before they came out, he said, kill the Passover lamb and apply the blood, right? Well, is there anything about that for us in the New Testament? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:7 and says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. And so when we come to Jesus and we apply his blood over our lives, we're born again, we're saved." And it's like, and it's a type, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is a type and picture of our redemption, of our salvation. And so he says, once you're saved, or once now that you're out of Egypt, I'm bringing you into a good land. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. For us, God said, now that you're saved, now that you're born again, now that I'm bringing you and brought you out of Satan's dominion and kingdom, I'm bringing you into a land of prosperity. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity and in which you will lack nothing.
Amen.
Amen. All right. In verse, let's keep reading here. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Now, let's stop right there for a second. He didn't say you're going to find copper laying on the ground. Huh? You're going to have to dig it. So there is work involved. Amen. God wants us to work. Amen. God wants us to work. Now, some of you, you know, you worked 40, 50 years, so it's all right for you to sit down now. All right? But most of us need to still keep working. Amen. Amen. Our prosperity is connected with our work. It's right, it's good, and it's proper, scriptural, to work. Amen. Out of whose, but when we work, there's copper in those hills. There's prosperity for our labor. God says, I'm going to bless the work of your hand. All right? When you've eaten, verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. So was it in the Old Covenant with his Old Testament people, the Jews, was it his will that they prosper? I think it's quite clear from these scriptures that we see here. All right? And then verse 18, Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, we'll skip down a few verses. He says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you what?
Power
to get wealth. If prosperity was wrong, if wealth was evil, then God is causing his people to sin. Think about it. Because he's the one that is giving his people the power to get wealth. Why does he do it? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. This is part of my covenant, he says. Part of my covenant is I'm giving you the power to get wealth. Now again, he doesn't just put it in your mailbox. He gives us the power to get wealth. He blesses us. He blesses the work of our hand. He gives us divinely inspired ideas, all those things. Amen? Praise God. Now, he does caution them in this passage. We didn't read those scriptures, but he says, now when you begin to enjoy the prosperity that I bless you with, don't get complacent and don't forget the Lord and don't say, hey, it was my power and the might of my hand that gained me this wealth. He said, don't say that. Remember that the Lord did it. Remember, it's the Lord your God that gives you the power to to get wealth. Amen? And that's one reason I believe that he commanded them to tithe, because every time that we tithe, we are acknowledging, everything I have, Lord, belongs to you, and I'm bringing back to you the first 10% of all that you've blessed me with. So tithing will help you to keep the proper perspective. Amen? And I've heard it said, that, and I believe it, that money is like electricity. Amen? You know, it can be a blessing or it can be a curse. Yes, we see that to some people, money is a curse. It causes them to backslide, to get away from God. It can be a curse. But just because somebody mishandled electricity, that doesn't mean I'm going to call Sony EMC and say, hey, would you disconnect the power to my house? I don't want to have anything to do with this electricity stuff anymore. It's evil. People can get hurt with it. Do we do that? No. We understand, hey, there's laws that govern this stuff. And if we'll operate within these laws, we can benefit from it. Amen. Amen. Don't touch a naked wire. Amen. All these things. If you learn to use it, then it can be a blessing. Prosperity, money is the same thing, same way. Amen. Yeah, somebody might have been ruined by it, but that's not going to say, well, cause me to say, I don't want any. No, I'm just going to learn to use it according to God's guidelines. Amen. And be blessed by it and be a blessing with it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's go to 28. Deuteronomy 28. And the Lord will grant you what? A few things. No, plenty of goods. Notice he says plenty, and notice he calls them goods. They're not bads, they're goods. Stuff. In the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and again, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Amen. So again, the Lord says, He says, the Lord's going to give you plenty of goods. God wants you to have plenty of goods.
Amen.
God wants you to have plenty of goods.
Amen.
This is God's doing. Not just enough goods, but plenty. Amen. And he promises to bless all the work of our hand. And then He says this, you shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. Amen. So God wants His people in the position to be the lenders, not the borrowers.
Amen.
Amen. God wants us, His people, to be in the position to be the lenders, not the borrowers. Most of the church is in debt. Most Christians are in debt. We're the borrowers, not the lenders. God wants us to be in position to be the lenders, not the borrowers.
Amen.
He wants to bless us to such a degree that that'll be the case.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's His desire. John's praying. He said, I pray. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. He's expressing God's desire for His children.
Amen.
That's His desire for you.
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm 105, verse 37, and this is the original New Living Translation. If you look up a current New Living Translation, it won't read like this. The original, they originally published the New Living Translation in 1996, and this is how Psalm 105:37 read in the original New Living Translation. They revised it and updated it in 2004, and I guess they thought, this is just too good to be true. We can't say this in the Bible. You have to be careful that, you know, people with their own religious convictions influence the interpretation of the Bible sometimes. Look at how it reads in the original New Living. He brought His people safely out of Egypt. Now again, God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt is a type of our redemption in Christ.
Amen.
He brought His people safely out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. Everybody say loaded with silver and gold. Hallelujah. There's a good message going on here. Don't miss it.
Amen.
Amen. Loaded with silver and gold, there were no sick or feeble people among them.
Amen.
That's sound, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. He brought them out, and they were loaded with silver and gold. And there were no sick or feeble people among them. Amen. And he didn't just bring them out with the clothes on their backs, but they were loaded with silver and gold. And no sick or feeble people. When they ate that Passover lamb, they were all healed. When they ate of the Passover lamb, every one of them received their healing right there. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Hebrews 7:22, it says, because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this what?
Better covenant
with God. Jesus guarantees this better covenant with God. Hebrews 8, verse 6, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a what?
Far
better covenant with God based on what?
Better
promises. We have a far better covenant with God, and it's based on better promises. So prosperity and healing and health were blessings under the old covenant, weren't they? We read that. We saw that clearly from the scriptures that we've looked at. Now, the Bible says Jesus is the guarantee, the high priest, and the mediator of what the scripture here calls a far better covenant with God that's based on better promises. If you see a product being advertised today as new and improved, this is the new and improved version. It's new and improved over the previous version. Don't you expect, if you've got the old one and you say, hey, I want to get the new one, it's new and improved. Don't you expect that the new one can do everything that the old one did plus more?
Amen.
Don't you expect that? Well, no matter what the product is, if they say it's new and improved, then you expect, well, it's going to do everything the old one did, plus more. This is a new covenant. It's called a better covenant. So should we not expect this new covenant to have everything that the old one had,
amen,
plus more?
Yes.
And you know it does.
Amen.
It does. Hallelujah. In this new covenant, we can be born again. They couldn't have that under the old covenant. We can be born again now. Hallelujah. We can be made the righteousness of God. We can have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to lead us, to guide us, to empower us. We can worship God now in spirit and truth. They couldn't do that in the Old Testament. Our sins here in the New Covenant are not just covered over, but they're washed away. Hallelujah. The blood of bulls and goats could only cover over our sin. But in this New Covenant, our sins are not just covered over. They're gone. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. In this new covenant, we've been given authority. That's something they didn't have in the Old Testament. God didn't even mention the devil to them hardly in the Old Testament. Why? They couldn't do anything about him. But in the new covenant, we've got authority over the devil. We can command the devil to leave us in Jesus' name. We can break his power over our lives. And so it's better. That's the better that we have. But we've got all the stuff of the old. Prosperity and healing and health. Amen? Let's look at the ministry of Jesus, Matthew chapter 9. And the ministry of Jesus was actually a bridge between the old covenant and the new covenant. The new covenant was, although it's Matthew's in the New Testament, the new covenant didn't come into force until after Jesus shed his blood and was raised from the dead. That's when the new covenant came into force. Amen? All right. So this is still bridging between the old covenant and the new. Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing what?
Every
How many sicknesses? every sickness and every disease among the people. Luke chapter 6, again, we could look at dozens of scriptures here in the Gospels, but we'll just hit a few. Luke 6, 17, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoasts of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Heal them all. Not one did Jesus say, oh, wait a minute, it's not God's will for you to get it. He healed them all. Amen. So I want to ask you, when did Jesus stop doing this? When did his healing ministry cease? What was this healing ministry to cease when he went back to the Father? Not according to Jesus' own words in John 14. In John 14, 12, Jesus told his disciples, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Stop right there. Are you included there?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
He who believes in me, the works that I do, he shouldn't try at home. The works that I do, he will do also.
Amen.
The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus said, when I leave and I go back to the Father, then my ministry should not cease. My ministry should not stop.
Amen.
It should go on.
Amen.
And thank God we see that it did. In the book of Acts, it did, as we read through the book of Acts. The ministry of Jesus continued on, didn't it?
Yes.
Amen. And it's to continue on today. Amen.
Amen.
It's His will still to heal all who come to Him.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Somehow we've let religious teaching come in and filter that down and water that down and plant questions and doubts in our minds that, well, it might not, you know, might not be His will this time. James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Notice he says, is anyone among you sick? Is anyone? Amen. So he doesn't say, now determine first if it's the will of God and then you can go. No, is anyone sick? If you're sick, you qualify.
Amen.
If you're sick, you qualify to receive healing. Amen? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, verse 15, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. What prayer is it that will save the sick?
Prayer of faith.
Prayer of faith. He says in verse 15 here, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Hallelujah. If the healer, I want to throw this out to you for you to think about. If the healing ministry of Jesus has ceased, it's only because the prayer of faith has ceased to be prayed.
Amen.
Not because the Lord has changed His mind regarding healing.
Amen.
If we see the healing ministry of Jesus ceasing, it's because folks have stopped praying the prayer of faith. It's not because Jesus and God have withdrawn their healing power. Amen. And we see that throughout history, throughout church history. We see, yes, it ceased in some pockets and places, but where believers continued to pray the prayer of faith, we see healing continue, all a thread continuing all throughout the church age up to now. And we ought to have what Jesus said we should have. We ought to walk in what He said we should walk in. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now again, I want to call your attention back to our opening text of 3 John 2, he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and get healed when you need healing. Well, it includes that, but that's not what he said, is it? He said that you would prosper and what? Be in health. I want to put that out there for you to lay hold of. God wants, yes, He wants to heal us when we're sick, but you know what He wants? He wants us to be in health. That's His will. He said, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. In the old covenant. God wants you to believe for that. Expect that. Be in health. Yeah, I'm grateful that when something comes against me, when I get attacked, that I can be healed and receive healing. But, oh, I love walking in health. Again, Dad Hagin used to say, you know, he said, I go along sometimes 7 or 8 years and don't even know I've got a body. And he said, in regards to being sick, amen. Amen. Now, again, that's not some thing of spiritual pride or anything like, not, we're not talking about that. But God wants you to be in health. Amen. Raise your expectation. Amen. Raise your expectation. He wants you to be. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm getting old now. I'm past 65. He didn't put a qualifier on that. He didn't say be in health as long as you get not too old. Amen. Now, I understand that we're aging. The Bible says the outward man's perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. But it doesn't mean we have to live sick. We can live healthy. And there's our senior member saying amen. Amen. With great gusto and great faith. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Walking in health. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. 2 Corinthians 8. JJ, you can come on back up if you would. 2 Corinthians 8. Let's talk about this prosperity side here. We looked at it in the Old Covenant. Is there anything in the New Covenant expressing God's desire for us to prosper? Materially, financially. Well, there is. 2 Corinthians 8, again, we could look at dozens of scriptures, but we'll look at just a few here. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know, do you? I hope we do. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Wow. Praise God. So, well, Pastor, wait, you may have been taught this. You may have been taught that's talking about spiritually. Jesus was rich spiritually, but he became poor spiritually that you might be made rich through his poverty. You might be made rich spiritually. Well, I guess we could say that's true. He did. He laid aside his glory as divine privileges, as God, and he became sin for us, but that's dealt with in another place. Here in the same book, in 2 Corinthians, same letter, in chapter 5, in verse 21, Paul writes, and he says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there was a great exchange that took place. Jesus knew no sin, but he was made sin, and in exchange, we were made righteous. And in the same way, this is talking about what he did for us concerning our prosperity. Amen. Though he was rich, yet for... Now see, when Jesus walked on the earth, he said, well, Pastor, doesn't the Bible say the Son of Man had no place to lay his head? That just means he was traveling around. He had clothing that was so nice that the Roman soldiers, who you think would be supplied pretty well, that the Roman soldiers desired one of his garments so much that they said, let's don't tear it. Let's cast lots over it and see who's going to win this prize garment. Amen. Jesus, when he fed the multitudes, his disciples came to him and said, where are we going to find, bread for you? He said, you give them something to eat. They said, Lord, send the people away. They've been with you 3 days. They're hungry now. He said, you give them something to eat. And one of his disciples said, oh, let me get this straight. You want us to feed them, so you want us to go into the town and buy bread and bring it back out here and feed them? That was a serious question, meaning that they had enough money in their treasury to go out and buy lunch on the spur of the moment for 5,000 men plus the women and children. 10, 15, 20,000 people, they could have gone out and bought lunch. $150,000 in our currency. You want us to take $150,000 right now and go buy lunch? No, that's the building fund. Jesus said, no, let's don't touch that money. Watch this. Just go find out what you've got here. And they brought the little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he blessed it and he broke it and fed the multitude. Amen. But they had it. They had the money. Jesus was not financially poor during his ministry. Amen. And they took that. So he became, on the cross, they stripped him of every earthly possession. He became poor materially that we might be made rich. It's in redemption. Just like he became sin that we might be made righteous. Just like he bore our sicknesses that we might be healed. He was made poor that we might be made rich. Say, Pastor, are you saying everybody's going to be a millionaire? Well, God wouldn't be opposed to that. But rich means a full supply. It means an abundant provision. God wants every one of us to have a full supply, to have abundant provision. Amen? 2 Corinthians, oh, and by the way, all of this, reading it in context, 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8 and chapter 9, he's talking about material things. To say that that only means spiritual, you're taking it out of the context in which it's written. Amen? Chapter 9, verse 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Hallelujah. Would you, let's make a confession out of that right now. Say this after me. God is able to make all grace abound toward me, that I always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Let me read it to you in the Amplified. "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." God wants you to prosper, number one, and God wants you to prosper and be in health, number one, because he loves you. You're his child. Number two, because you're in covenant with him. Amen. We're in covenant. We've got a better covenant that includes all the old plus the blessings and benefits of the new birth, righteousness, authority. Amen. And then number three, God wants to prosper you so you can do good with that prosperity. Hallelujah. Furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Hallelujah. He wants you to be able to give and to be generous. Amen. Now you should start right where you're at. But God, as you do that, God says, whew, if God can get it through you, he can get it to you. Amen. So he's watching to see if he can get it through you. And if he does, whew, it's getting through them. I'm going to give them more. Because they're being generous. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let's go back to 3 John where we started. He said, "I wish above all things, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I'm glad to hear that you're walking in the truth." And then the very next verse, verse 5, he says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward," if you do what? Send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentile." What's he talking about here? He's talking about people that are missionaries. He's talking about people that are carrying the gospel particularly to reach people that have never heard. And Paul is commending Gaius. He said, "You do well, brother, beloved. You do well if you would send them forward." Man, the missions, missionaries and ministries that we partner with as a church, I love being able to help send them forward. Here's a check for $500. Let's send you forward. Hallelujah. When they come in and we take up an offering, here's an offering for $1,500, $2,000. It sends them forward. Hallelujah. You send them forward in a manner worthy of God. Amen. And he says, you'll do well if you do that, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the... He's again talking about missionaries going and spreading the gospel. We therefore ought to receive such, one translation says support, for the word receive, support such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. That's what we get to be. When we take our prosperity, when we understand that God wants us to prosper and wants us to be blessed, and we walk in it and we believe it and we begin to experience it, then we can be a blessing and we can give and we can help spread the gospel and we become fellow workers for the truth. It's so important in our world, our society today, that we proclaim the truth. And it takes money to do that. Amen? You can't go if you're sick. And you can't send if you're poor. Amen? You ought to write that down. I thought that was profound. You can't go if you're sick. And you can't send if you're poor. Amen. Now, yes, God loves us just the same, whatever our situation. But He wants us to get a hold of these truths. There's no shame or condemnation if the enemy has attacked you with sickness or disease. But I'm here to tell you today that God wants you well. God wants you well. Amen. To build you up. Amen. And there's no condemnation if you're struggling right now financially. But I'm here to tell you that God desires, God wants you to prosper and to be blessed and to have an abundance. So you can take care of your household and your needs, but also so you can have an abundance to help spread the truth and to become a fellow worker for the truth. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, thank you for your word today.